So we are continuing actually those Krishna Katha evening lecture on Thursday are based on a seminar that I have heard from Srila Radha Govinda Swami, who is actually a very eloquent speaker on Srimad Bhagavatam. And by the grace of some devotees, we have good translation in English because most of his lectures are in Hindi. And the seminar is called Krishna and Balaram Enters Mathura. So, any one of you remember a little bit what happened last Thursday? He was not here? Mikhail? No? Actually, we had already two parts of this lila. The first part was the journey with Akrura, Krishna and Balaram going with Akrura to Vrindavan. We purposefully skipped the heart pain situation of the leaving of Mathura, but then we heard how they passed through many villages and how the people of those villages were just so amazing to see the beauty of Krishna, and their eyes were just thirsty to see Krishna, to see him more. And when Krishna and Balaram left with the carts, they had only Krishna in their hearts. They just could not think or see anything else. There was the time when Akrura took the bath in the Yamuna River and had the darshan of Krishna and Balaram in the river, who transformed into Ananta Shesha. And last time we heard about the entry of Krishna and Balaram in Mathura, how the buildings were so beautiful, that they were crystal archways, all the houses were decorated very, very nicely, and all the ladies from Mathura, they were actually waiting on the roofs to see Krishna. They had heard about the beauty of Krishna, the qualities of Krishna, and they were waiting on the roofs with flowers and with conch. Why conch? To sound the alert. Whenever they would see Krishna will come, they will blow the conch, and then the old Mathura will know, now Krishna is coming. And they will be on the roofs and they will just look and stare at Krishna with the big hope that Krishna will look at them back. And whenever Krishna will glance at them back, they will feel that Krishna was speaking through his glance. And the glance was speaking, I know you since time immemorial. I know you since ever. And there was a very beautiful description of the eagerness of all those ladies of Mathura who were just not finishing dressing themselves and just running on the roofs to see Krishna and Balaram entering. And we ended the session when Krishna and Balaram thought, now we are in Mathura, maybe we need to adjust our dress. We are still dressed as cowboys, and now we are in the town. We are in the town of King Kamsa. We should get some new dress. So this is the beginning of today's part of the Lila, where actually they were in this large path, the road of the king, the main road of Mathura, where a lot of people were walking on that road. And suddenly, as they were thinking, we need new clothes, a washerman arrived. And this washerman was not alone. He had many associates who were washermen too. And a lot of donkeys were there carrying actually the clothes. And this washerman was actually the direct servant of King Kamsa, and all those clothes were belonging to King Kamsa. So Krishna approached the washerman and he said very kindly, please give me some of those clothes. He just very kindly asked him for that. But the washerman answered with harsh words. That was the answer of the washerman. Who are you? You are just village boys. And do you know to whom those clothes belong? They belong to the king. And you want those clothes? Really harsh words. So he could have spoken nicely. Why was he so harsh? Two young boys, Krishna and Balaram, who just innocently asked for some clothes. Why was he speaking so harsh to them? That was not fair. Because Krishna is also called Vishvambhar. And Vishvambhar means the one who nourishes the entire universe, the one who gives everything to everyone. And now he was just taking such a humble position to come toward the washerman and ask him for just for a few clothes. And why was now the washerman so strong and so harsh to him? Still Krishna begged. Krishna said, "Hey, Priya Rajak, my dear washerman," like Priya, like kind words, "my dear washerman, please give me some of those clothes. Although we are here, we are many cowboys, we are many friends, I don't need clothes for all of them. I will just take something for myself. And you give me whatever you want. You can give me just a dhoti or just a chadar, whatever. I leave it up to you. Please give me something." And then he saw that the Priya Rajak, the dear washerman, was not so inclined to give anything. So he said, "I need to give him a reward." He said, wait, "I don't have any money, but I promise I will give you such high reward, 100,000 times more than what you are able to give me. I will give you Paramshreyo." Paramshreyo means the ultimate wealth, ultimate health, ultimate heaven, everything. I will give you everything. Just give me something and you will... Don't doubt my words. You will get a very beautiful reward. But still, the washerman was not inclined at all. He was still actually speaking harsh words to Krishna and Balaram. Shishi Radha Madan Mohan Ki Jai. Krishna possesses all opulences. He's the husband of the goddess of fortune, and he's so humbly begging the washerman. But the washerman kept arrogant. "Those are the king's clothes. Are you not ashamed? Are you not ashamed to ask for those king clothes?" Now, what was happening was that actually Kala had come for the washerman. His time of death had come for the washerman. And this is a sign. When death is coming for materialistic people, the sign is that they speak very badly. They are very arrogant. This is a sign that actually death is very soon coming to them. So that was actually the case for the washerman. The washerman was also very proud to be the servant, a very dear servant of the king. We see also the example of Hiranyakashipu, who was also coming close to the time of death and just became so arrogant toward Prahlad Maharaj, and that was just the time when Lord Nrisingadev just appeared to finish him. So with arrogance the washerman continued, "Go back to your village and mountain. You are a village boy. You just deserve to wear gamsha. You should not ask for those clothes of the king. That's not befitting for you." Nothing else for you, was the washerman saying. Srila Radha Govinda Maharaj explained that if one is not able to give in charity, at least he should give kind words. At least that is necessary. So the washerman was really not behaving properly. And we see, for example, when we are in India, so many beggars are there. But still, we should never speak harshly to anyone. We might give or not give to them, but we should always actually keep kind words and be nice. We never know actually who are in those sadhus. Who are those sadhus that are on the side of the street? And sometimes people say, "Yeah, that's their karma. They are beggar because they did bad things in the past. That's just their karma. Why should I be kind or do anything good toward them?" But would we say the same if a member of our family, a person we are loving, is actually in suffering? Will we also say, "Oh yeah, that's just his karma"? No, we will help the person. So in the same way, at least if we cannot give charity, we should actually at least give kind words to those who come and beg from us. So that was not That was not at all the washerman's mood. He was totally arrogant. So Krishna, why Krishna wanted those clothes from Kamsa? Krishna obviously wanted to be dressed nicely for being in the town of Mathura, but he wanted also to show Kamsa, now I will take your clothes, and then I will take your kingdom, and then I will take your life. Everything is actually belonging to me. That was like the first sign Krishna wanted to send to Kamsa, I'm here, and I'm going to take everything from you. The washerman continued his harsh words. He said, if you want to remain alive, the washerman said to Krishna, you go away immediately. For now I forgive you that you ask for the clothes of the king. If you ask one time more, I will kill you on the spot. Now you just go away, go away. So many bad words that even Shukadev Goswami, who is actually seeing this in his mind's eyes, did not dare to write more of those bad words of the washerman. And then Krishna decided, because that was also done in front of all his friends, and they were all have so much loving relationship between each other, and this was paining the heart of all the Kaur boys to hear those bad words from the washerman. So at that time Krishna said, okay, pass. So Krishna, with the tip of his finger, just went toward the throat of the washerman, and immediately, like a razor blade, the head of the washerman fell on the floor. Wow! That was a big display of strength. And all the associates of the washerman, they just became so afraid, they all started to run in all directions. Why? Why they all not all ran in one direction? They felt if we run in from many different directions, we have less chance that Krishna will follow us. Krishna might follow another one of the washerman. So let's run in all directions. And many of them, they were still carrying clothes, so they started to throw off their clothes, because some thought we cannot run fast enough with all those clothes, and some were thinking this guy, he want clothes, so if we leave the clothes back, he might spare our life. So they were all running in all directions, spreading all those clothes in the air, and the donkeys also became totally afraid and started to jump and run in all directions, and all the weight of clothes they had on their backs was just jumping, and everywhere in the street were just the king clothes, the clothes of King Kamsa. Mm. Now, many people, when they hear this pastime, they feel, what cruel person is Krishna? Because he just did not get what he wanted, he just killed this man. I don't know, maybe when you read this pastime the first time or heard, you might also have felt, wow, that's a little rough from Krishna to just decapitate him like this. So it is explained that actually Krishna was very kind and merciful to the washerman, because he awarded him liberation. This man was really not behaving properly, and Krishna was giving him actually a new birth. He was actually saving him for this bad condition in which he was. And the analogy is like of a drunken man who is lying on the street, and we might give him a slap to wake him up and bring him home. So in the same way was Krishna dealing with the washerman. It was in our eyes a little harsh, but it was actually mercy. It was actually giving him liberation. So Krishna went and chose some new clothes for himself, and he took just one dhoti and one chador. Krishna wanted to show we should not take more than necessary. Just took what was necessary for himself. He took two clothes, blue for Balaram, and then he said to the boy, okay, you just choose also one set of clothes for yourself, and everyone got their clothes. Now, what is the teaching of the Lila? What is Krishna wanting to teach us in this Lila? Yeah, that's very, actually very simple and very easy, that everything belongs to Krishna and everything should be offered to him. Everything should be given to him. Mm. So Krishna is also asking us to give. What is Krishna asking us? That we give him. Yeah?
Our love.
Mm-hmm. From Bhagavad Gita, one verse. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He's asked, Patan Kushan. He says, if someone offers me with love and devotion a leaf, some water, fruit, and yeah.
Mm-hmm.
With love and devotion, one.
That's right. That's right.
I will accept him.
And actually, the next verse, se yat karoshi yad ajnasi yat chuoshi tadashi yat yat tapasyasi kanteya mat kurushva madarpanam. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer as donation or whatever you sacrifice, this all, just give it to me. Whatever you do, just do it to me. Like whatever you eat, you just give it to me. And Radha Govinda Maharaj explained that actually only the animals are not able to fold their hands or their palms before eating as a sign of gratitude to Krishna. But this every living entity can do, at least to remember how kind is the Lord that is giving us this food. And Krishna said, please offer me this food and I will give it back to you, but I will give it back to you in the form of prasad. Will give it back to you, that it will uplift you, that he will protect you actually against material contaminations. So this is how Krishna is kind. He's asking, give it to me, but he's ready to give in a much more beautiful way for our own benefit. Hmm. So Radha Govinda Maharaj is very, very sharp and practical. He says, so everyone is at least eating 3 times a day. So let's do it. Let's do it. Whenever we want to eat, first of all, we offer it to Krishna. Mm-hmm. Then Maharaj said, this is what we actually need to learn in this world, to just offer everything to Krishna. This is renunciation. Everything belongs to Krishna, so how can we renounce anything? How can we renounce something that is not from us? But at least what we can try to renounce is I and mine. This feeling of possessiveness, this feeling that things belong to us. Hmm. And Krishna gives back much more. And we have this example with Sudam Vipra, who just came with just such a small quantity of rice. But Krishna said, he had given me all he had. I will give him all I have. And then he did not want to embarrass Sudam Vipra and give him directly. He gave him in an indirect way. But this is how Krishna wants to deal with his devotees. We give a little bit, but he wants to give us much more. Without giving to Krishna, we are like a dead body who is still breathing. Now it's hard words are coming to make us understand the point. Hmm. So Krishna also wants our attention. Or like Bhakta Mikhail was saying, he wants our love. He wants our attention. And when is the best time to give our attention to Krishna, to offer our attention to Krishna?
When we chant the holy name.
Yeah. basically when we chant japa, it's actually the best time because we have nothing else to do. When we chant japa, the all we have to do is actually to give our attention to the name, to give our attention to Krishna. And this is what is basically underlying all the activities in order to give it to Krishna, that our consciousness is connected as an offering. We are actually giving our attention. How will we react when devotees come to us and ask us to give something? Will we speak with harsh words? Will we say, I have no time? This also, very often it comes through the devotees, this invitation to give. It's often coming with devotees. And we can often see also in those circumstances how much we are ready to give to Krishna and how much we are still attached to our own position or possessions. I was telling the devotees sometimes, I was in Braj Mandal Parikram, and one day when we came to the place, my luggage was still there, but my bucket was not there, and few things were missing, and I was just so angry, who steal my bucket? And I was looking in all the place, who is this, the one who steal my bucket? And another devotee was saying, just be happy. Someone needed a bucket and he took it. You are doing Vaishnava Seva. It's only Vaishnava here. So be happy. And sometimes you are just so attached for such stupid things. It's really... So this pastime is there to bring us in this position to actually learn to give everything to Krishna and to understand that actually nothing really belongs to us. And in a deeper sense, that actually we do not belong to ourselves. This is what we think belongs the most to ourselves. Especially our body. This is, we really feel this is my body. But we remember when I think Sanatana Goswami wanted to end his life because his body was so much covered with disease and wanted to jump under the Hatayatra cart. Mahaprabhu said, you cannot do that. This body belongs to me. And I have big hopes and big service for this body to be done. You cannot do that. So this was actually the pastime for today. We are actually finished quite earlier than expected. But maybe I often actually leave it open for the devotees when we hear like this about Krishna to share a little bit what were their thoughts, if any special remembrance of the pastimes is there in those dealings between the washerman and Krishna, maybe any points that you remember, if you like to kindly share something, or if you have also question on the Leela.
I felt very sorry for the washerman. I mean, Krishna is standing before you, the Lord Himself, He's the. This afternoon, I heard a lecture. He's the most well-behaved person, Krishna, and. Krishna, the Lord stands before you and is asking just, okay, if you don't want to give me some clothes, just give me one thing, whatever, no problem, just anything. And I will reward you so much, but still the washerman cannot do. This is a sad story.
Krishna Kona.
This washerman was in his previous life, he wants to meet God, but there is something, but he has not special eyes of love, God.
I remember that there was something with the previous life of this washerman, but I don't remember. Pandu, which one?
Then also, was a I have a question in my mind, because usually all these persons who come in contact with Krishna, either in positive or in negative beings to us, they are special. Also like Putana, or all these devotees, they are all like and also Hiranyakashipu, who are actually a devotee who came down. And then, so maybe also the this washerman, something, I never heard the story, I don't know what happened in this, and maybe the devotee has also this.
Yeah, I remember I heard once about the previous life of maybe he was impersonalist, but there was actually a person who had a certain search for spiritual life. But I think even Guru Maharaj was speaking once about, you also remember from Guru Maharaj, but I don't remember. It will be nice to find it out, and yeah. Actually, for these pastimes, I just listened to the lectures of Radha Govinda Swami, and I just took note on them. I did not actually like research in other shastra about the pastime. I think if we go into Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur commentary or some other acharya, we should get, or even Gargasamita. I don't know if these pastimes, usually Gargasamita speak a lot about previous life, at least of all the demons they mention, but I don't know for the washerman, but yeah, that could be good to make further research.
Sometimes really amazing, for example, if you go and see what they were in their previous lives, like karma, for instance, it's a really amazing karma. He was so powerful, but he liked to fight, and he was fighting for so many years, you know. So till he actually got it that what I'm doing actually, I'm just wasting my time fighting all the time, because he was practically unconquerable. And then the Sangha even got pity on him, and then I think he helped him to become his son, Kunti, and then he came into Krishna's pastimes and begin by Juna actually to get liberated, because it was really what he went through. Although he had so many good qualities, charitable. He used to give so much away, and the reward and also let him do it. He was so inclined to give so much away.
There are always so many different meanings and so many different lilas behind that things happened in one way or another. I like very much, it's very beautiful for me this pastime, how it goes back and forth. How Krishna is all the time kindly asking, begging, giving some other hints or some other, just give a little bit, not so many, just for me, no need to give for everyone. He's just giving so much opportunity for the washerman to give, and the washerman just keep on the harsh position, and then suddenly, check, the head is down. And then I like very much, there is like suddenly a big move into the pastime, and all the men start to run, and the donkeys start to jump around, and all the clothes in the street. You can very easily get a picture of all, and it's moving from a very, very subtle way of discussion, and then suddenly, poof, it's almost like a explosion. And also the point of giving everything to Krishna, to be ready to give when Krishna is asking us, all the devotees. Nice. So I thank you for your attention. and we have 10 minutes, maybe we just sing before the arati. And I mean, if you want to do something else, the lecture is at the end. Yeah.